You know, I wrote this script on Google Drive.
Yeah, what's your point? I read this script on Google Drive.
My point is, for the past 7 segments, we've been talking about the knowledge economy. How technology means that people who make the product and people who use the product can be anywhere. And here we are, using an American product. Hello, I'm Josh Nicholas.
And I'm Ellen Liebeder.
And if you've been listening to our previous segments, you would know there are a lot of challenges facing tech entrepreneurs in Australia. Everything from stingy investors to a fear of failure.
But now we're looking at the positives.
Tech entrepreneurs face many challenges creating their companies, and they have a lot of fears about expanding their businesses. And yet they stay in Australia. Why?
The answer is culture. Here's what James Cooter had to say way back when, at the beginning of our series.
Certainly there's been a big discussion many times about moving to the States, San Jose, Cupertino, those sort of areas, specifically because the labour costs are dramatically reduced. But I think we're here in Australia despite Australia. Really. I mean, I love, you know, we all love our country, you know. I mean, it's not some sort of patriotic thing. It's just, it's a good country. It's called a lucky country for a very real reason.
So, even though it's hard to do business here, James is staying just because it's a nicer place to live?
Exactly. James is staying because he likes to live here. Although that said, it's not just the weather and the beer that's keeping him here.
Although that's part of it.
Sure, beer and weather are part of it. God knows the weather sucks in Berlin and London.
But the beer is good though.
But it's also to do with culture. Australian culture and the culture of the Australian tech community itself. There are loads of interesting little events and support groups for techies around Australia, hidden from the rest of us.
There is Coding on the Beach on the Sunshine Coast and entrepreneur clubs in Melbourne. But one of the most interesting organisations we've come across is Silicon Beach.
Yeah, it's an organisation that's in a few cities now, and a couple of 100 to 1,000 people will go to their events. I met up with the founder of the Gold Coast and Brisbane branches, Kyle McGinty, at a cafe near the beach on the Gold Coast.
Well, Silicon Beach is kind of a bit of a national platform for, you know, kind of just general kind of networking and sharing knowledge in the startup community. And it started, I believe, in Sydney and then Melbourne popped up. And when I moved up here, and I'd been to a couple of the meetups down in Sydney, and they're just casual networking type sessions, you know, meet in a pub, meet that sort of thing. And just chat to other people that are like-minded sort of interest. And a lot of people got a lot out of that because they learned something, two, they got a connection, and three, they might have found a co-founder or something like that. But so I guess when I got moved up here to the Gold Coast, I see that the startup scene here was kind of a little bit invisible. I couldn't sort of... So I think on the Gold Coast, we've got, you know, within 4 years, we've got about 650 members. Up in Brisbane, we've got over 1,400. The events up in Brisbane, we get regularly kind of 150 to 250 people to events. And we had over 400 to our Christmas party last year. So,
what exactly are these events? Like when you say Silicon Beach, I imagine you all went surfing.
It's focused around kind of innovation and the tech scene. So it's a technology led. Startup kind of focused networking group. So anyone that's, you know, looking to start something potentially in internet mobility or cloud computing or anything in that sort of arena. Now, you could be a developer, you could be a creative, you could be a marketeer, you could be an investor. A lot of people kind of find each other in these kind of networking sort of scenarios. So, you know, people that are looking for broader skill sets, they know that they may be great as a tech guy or a tech gal, but they need some creative skills, or they need a marketeer to kind of take their concept and take it to the market. So that's essentially, you know, where the value lies, I think, in the community.
So it's kind of a casual networking and support group.
It's a community of techies and entrepreneurs.
Although it has branched off into more. Kyle says Silicon Beach has leached into other aspects of the startup life. For example, they're now part of startup weekends.
I think in the last one, there was probably about 120 people there. And everyone, if they wanted to, had the opportunity to get up front, pitch their idea, and all those ideas were put up on sticky notes on the wall, and then people vote on those kind of concepts, and then during that night they'll select 10 or so concept ideas, and they'll work on it for the rest of the weekend until the Sunday night, and then on the Sunday night they'll pitch back where they've got to, and there's usually a winner of that startup. At the end of that weekend, at least 75% of the people in that room have a plan, I guess, to continue on with that startup and keep assisting. And then still 3 months later, there's still 35% of the people that are still working on that startup. So we're finding that, that there are startups, being from concept to acceleration, to some of them are then getting funding, a few months down the track.
For clarity, startup weekends are like a condensed beginning of a business. You pitch your idea on Friday, make it better on Saturday, and then come out with a working plan on Sunday.
And all your peers are there to comment and advise. It's just a wonderful example of how the tech culture here is so much different from the culture in other industries. I mean, how many other industries can you name where you help your competitors?
Imagine the boss of BHP just popping over to Rio Tinto's office for a spot of advice.
Exactly my point.
Most startup founders are under a lot of stress. They probably aren't flush with cash, they are trying to get their product to work, and may even be working alone.
And remember that entrepreneur get-together that Ellen was talking about before? Here's another of our entrepreneurs, Belbeth Cooper, talking about the value of these kinds of initiatives.
You're thinking about startups and you start to read about them and think about getting involved with them. There's just not enough obvious options available to you of where to turn to find out more information or to meet people who've done it or to understand what it's like and whether it's something you want to do. It makes it a much harder, lonelier place for a startup founder in Australia when you don't have all those examples around you and all that support, and making startups a friendlier environment for people who want to get into them.
We aren't saying this industry is perfect.
No.
But if you go to the various startup community websites around Australia, there is a camaraderie I definitely don't see in the journalism community.
Imagine Rupert singing beers with some Fairfax writers.
Imagine Rupert singing beers with anyone.
But between the meetups, talks, startup weekends, and coding from the beaches, the startup scene in Australia is really developing its own culture and its own community.
Which is a good sign. James Cooter said he's staying in Australia because of the culture. Maybe if this keeps up, we won't have to worry about building a rabbit-proof fence to keep them all in.
I hope you're right. But it's not all blue skies and beaches. There has to be something else keeping startups in Oz.
Keep your ears peeled for our voices. We'll be back soon with some other reasons to be optimistic about Australia's knowledge economy.
I'm Josh Nicholas.
And I'm Ellen Lee-Bitter.
Thanks for your company.